9 o'clock on a Monday here on Fesco and Dusty with Nathan as well. Mac will be back Wednesday. Nathan will be back tomorrow. Royals at 5:30 tonight with Josh Verner's On Deck show. First pitch at 6:40 against the Bravos. Maybe the last time we see Ronald Acuna in a Braves jersey. See him hug some people in this series?
Maybe, yeah.
Because they're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
And then Thursday is the deadline.
Yep.
And he seems to be a hot commodity on the trade line, because we've yet to really see the blockbuster move, right?
Normally, yeah, there hasn't been one. Has there been a block? What, like, define the blockbuster type move. I'm trying to think. Like, yeah. like Seth Lugo signing the contract is the biggest move that we've seen, I think, in baseball right now, right? I think that's kind of been the biggest move that we've seen throughout Major League Baseball. We haven't had that, you know, quote unquote blockbuster deadline deal that I think a lot of people want to see. But you know what? I hate to be that guy. We're not at the deadline yet. You know, like, these things will gear up as the week kind of progresses and teams get to that point where they truly believe that they're a contender or that they're out of it. And as Vern talked about, the seventh wild card and whatnot, or whatever it is, the sixth wild card, being stupid, hates it and whatnot.
Hates Happy Gilmore, hates the wild card spot.
Yeah. Like, he was in not such a good mood today, but I don't blame him. I mean, it's been kind of a long season. The ball club hasn't produced like we wanted it to produce, but I think with this extra wild card, there are some teams that are still kind of floating around and think they're still in it that are going to realize on Thursday, okay, it's time to peel off some of these players and let's make some moves.
Mm-hmm. I think when you look at the Lugo thing, though, that is where small market Kansas City can affect major markets around the league, because Cubs were tied to it. I'm sure Boston was tied to it. I mean, Duran was a name that we were hearing kind of be connected somehow to the Royals. And now you look at yourself as, okay, are they just going to take this team forward and go with Lugo, Cameron, Waka, spot starter, and then, you know, opener or whatever it may be, and ride this tide out and see what happens. And again, 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, 2 out of 3 against Cleveland, but 1 out of 3 against the Marlins. And Vernon told us, you know, you had a stinker, you had a game where it didn't, neither team looked like they wanted to win that game. You had a, you know, all this sort of stuff. And then you look at all the Royal Blues over the weekend, and this was JJ Piccolo on the injuries to Cags and Bubich over the weekend when he joined Ryan Lefever for his Sunday show.
Yeah, it was a tough day. And, you know, and Cags, you know, he got injured in the first inning. He actually was going back on a fly ball that Manzardo hit, that he felt it, and then trying to get out of the box. It was more that first step. And, you know, this heat that we're playing in, knowing that we had two games, you know, we were hopeful, pull him out of the game, maybe just get him some rest and maybe play the second game, but we realized afterwards that it was a little bit more serious than that. But the good news is with Cags is the actual exam didn't match the image. The image was much more positive than what we thought it might be. So he's going to miss a little bit of time. He'll be going on the IL today. And then with Chris, you know, I give Chris a lot of credit. He's fatigued. He's tired, but he wants to compete. He wants to win. He knows he's having a good year. He knows the importance of him being in our rotation, how much it means to us. But you could see right from the get-go, he's tired. He was throwing some fastballs at 87, 88, and that's not usually Chris. Give him a lot of credit, but Chris is very valuable to us, and we're not going to take any chances with him and try to push him through this. So I would anticipate, we're still waiting to get back some imaging. I would anticipate we're going to be comfortable with what the image says, but he probably still needs a couple weeks to get a breather.
Doesn't sound like we'll see Chris Bubich maybe for the rest of the year unless there's a playoff push.
Yeah, it really sounds like Chris Bubich is probably going to be a guy that's, you know what, we'll see in March when spring training starts, or February when spring training starts. And look, that's okay if that's what it takes. There's really, at this point in time, you know, no reason to rush him back. But you also do want to make sure that he's healthy, because he could be your biggest trade chip, that now that you have, you know, this offseason to go out and try to acquire, you know, that bat that the Royals need. And that has to be the goal this offseason, right? You can't go into the season now, next year, just again relying on everybody off of career years like they did this year. And it wasn't because they wanted to rely on that. That ended up what happening, because they couldn't find that bat. But you can't go into this now off season and say, okay, well, one more year with everybody, you know, kind of being the same. No. You have to go out there and you have to actively acquire that bat. I was just looking at a stat I saw online from Nick Cappell of the Royals PR department. They have scored 17 runs. Their last 17 runs have all been scored by the home run. And so that's the only way that they're scoring right now. They've got to find a way to do better than that and to produce more, you know, just not via the home run. They've got to find still ways to be better situationally at hitting. And that's why you acquire a guy like Adam Frazier and acquire a guy like Randall Grichuk, because they're not household names. They're not wow names, but they are still professional hitters, right? And that's something that we've kind of lacked over the course of this season, up and down the lineup. You've had a lot of young guys and a lot of guys that probably aren't ready to be at the big league level, MJ Melendez, right? And so you've got a situation where you needed professional hitters in the lineup that know how to put the ball in play, that can make, even if you're not getting a hit, you're putting the ball in play and forcing the other team to make a play. They could make an error. They could throw it away. It could be a two-base hit. It could, you know, work in your favor. And that's what Adam Frazier and Randall Grichuk bring to you. You're not bringing them in because you think those are the additions that are going to wow everybody and move mountains. They needed to take some baby steps. And just to have those adult at-bats in the room and the adult at-bats in that lineup, that's going to make this team better because they're going to be able to get those hits that this team has not been able to have. And so hopefully you can get some production out of those older veterans that you've added in. And it kind of looks like, just from what Vern's got to say, it's kind of the team we're looking at the rest of the way. Is it good enough to make a postseason push? Probably not. But is it good enough to keep us interested? Yeah, it probably is.
Some pretty impressive games coming up after this Braves series. You've got three at the Blue Jays, who's the best team in baseball, and then three in Boston, who's been the best team in baseball since the All-Star break. They had that 10-game winning streak. Then you go three against Minnesota, and then you finally come back home. So you get these three games, and then you go on a 9-game road trip. So we'll see if they make any moves, but this was JJ on Randall Grichuk's arrival in Kansas City.
Randall Grichuk was somebody we identified, even going back to the offseason. You know, when you look at really valuable right-handed bats that really dominate left-handed pitching, he's one of the more elite guys in the game. So looking at our team, as it stood yesterday, we had a lot of left-handed hitting outfielders, some that are very young. So it felt like it was the right fit for us, and Arizona was ready to move him, and we were prepared to make the deal. So glad that he's here today. He got pulled from the game in Pittsburgh last night. Spoke to him probably 5 to 10 minutes after that and said, hey, look, if you can get here tomorrow, you're in the lineup tomorrow. And he got here pretty early. So we'll see what he's got today, but we're excited to have him.
So see him in right field, maybe see him in left field, maybe see him as like a DH at times, just being a guy that can put the ball in play. Yeah. One thing that you need with this team to score runs is get guys in that are in scoring position, because we had that stat earlier in the year where they were terrible. Mm-hmm. They just could not get guys in. And I know this guy's not going to hit the ball over the fence like people want to see, the long ball, or he's going to be super powerful, but he's going to put the ball in play. He's going to get guys over, and he's a smart baseball player for this team. And right. If this team that you believe in, with Garcia and Bobby and Vinny and Sal and India and those guys, then you're going to see this sort of guy come in and be that sort of acquisition to that addition, which maybe you believe in your core four. Maybe you believe in Vinny, Sal, Bobby, and Michael Garcia. Those guys are the ones that are going to move this needle. Those are the guys that are going to keep this team going. They just need a little shot in the arm. Maybe that little shot in the arm is Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, and that could be the guy that they need to kind of give him that protection in the lineup too, where you're not just a black hole from 6, 7, 8, and 9 down at the bottom of your lineup, where you actually now have some guys that this pitching staff that's pitching against you has to say, okay, wait a second here. This guy's a professional. He knows what he's doing up here. These aren't gimmies. These aren't easy outs. I actually have to go out there and battle. And forcing people, you know, they say it all the time, you know, in baseball, were these hard innings or were they easy innings? Was there a high leverage inning or a not high leverage inning? Well, having a Grichuk or an Adam Frazier is a better hitter to have up there for your standpoint, because it's more of a quote unquote high leverage situation for that pitcher than to go up against some nondescript guy that's an easy out where you don't have to dial it back. With these guys, you're still going to have to make good pitches. They're going to battle you. They're going to work the pitcher down. And in turn, that makes everybody in the lineup better. So these aren't awful moves that the Royals made. They're moves to make themselves better from a lineup perspective. Not going to move the needle by any stretch. Not going to be the difference between you being a 500 team and a world championship team, but it's a step in the right direction. And having more professional hitters in your lineup makes everybody better in your lineup.
No doubt about it. I mean, you just got to produce. And if you want to be a wild card team, you're 4 games out, you're what? Eight and a half out of the division. I don't think that you're catching that, obviously, but 4 games out of your wild card spot with only 3 games, really 4 total from the third spot in Seattle, but a game and a half behind everybody in front of you, which is Tampa, Texas, Anaheim, and Cleveland, mm-hmm. who's a half game ahead of you, and then the other three as well. So it should be interesting. They're gearing up. I think the Lugo signing is important because I think it makes you think that maybe Bubic isn't the guy, because a lot of people would say, is he injury prone? Do you want to give a guy like that a huge contract? Yeah. All that sort of stuff. It makes you think. I mean, they gave Reagan's one, and the minute after, he's out for basically the entire year. Right. So maybe fool me once type of stuff there, but I'm interested to see what they do with Bubic in the offseason.
I am too. I'm a trade guy, so I think Bubic is the type of guy that you have to have an opportunity to kind of read the room and see what you can get back in return and see if you you can't trade him, and I don't want to say trade him for Jonathan India, but that type of trade where you trade somebody of value to get somebody of value back, and you're not going to be able again to trade MJ Melendez and think you're going to make your ball club better, because you're not. Right. But if you trade a guy that has value like Chris Bubich, you can make your ball club better. So the Seth Lugo signing, great for 26-27. I just looked at it from a 25 perspective and went, huh, I would have liked to have seen Seth Lugo traded, but maybe those offers just weren't out there that were worthy of trading Seth Lugo. And at the end of the day, Lugo said, look, man, I just want to be here. So just sign me to a contract. I'll work with you. And they did. They got a nice deal together. And John Sherman continues to spend money, which is another great thing for this organization.
Many points made there. Players stay in Kansas City. Owner spins in Kansas City. Team stays relevant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up on the other side, some Deion news that will break today. We'll see if his future is still in college football or in coaching. For in fact, there are some health scares. They will have a press conference today. We'll get into Deion's news on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Back here on 96.5 The Fan on a Monday. It's muggy. It's traffic. It's Monday. Thanks for joining us here on Fesco and Dusty with Nathan as well with you. There will be some news that comes out later today, probably around 12 o'clock our time because it's 10 a.m. Mountain time.
Yeah, so that'll be 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. here, noon Eastern. Yes, I'm counting backwards, right?
Carry the four.
Yes, thank you. You're the math guy. You got a legal degree.
Those are two opposite things, man. Oh.
Yeah, it's geography and math. Yeah. Time zones.
I am no good at math, man.
Y equals MX plus B is slope, right? I think. No, maybe.
I'm going to take your word for it. If you would have said it with more confidence, you would have sold me.
But there will be a press conference today out of Colorado in Boulder with Deion Sanders in his health team. It is not looking good for Deion Sanders, as many things out there are saying to pray for his health and his recovery. He is reportedly battling a mysterious health condition. Deion Sanders is set to hold a press conference, as we had mentioned today, with the Colorado medical team to tell more. Deion Sanders has had past issues with life-threatening blood clots and has had a few toes amputated as a result. He is seen in a video that has gone viral of him sitting on a hospital bed. Looks like he has just absolutely just been blindsided with some news that you probably don't want to hear. He's talking about making a will, how it shocked him, how it's opened his eyes. So if I had to take a take on this and reading what I've seen on Twitter, you could see Deion Sanders having to take a leave of absence from the Colorado Buffaloes and that university. I don't think we will see Deion Sanders with a positive message today because of what we have been reading and what we have seen in the press conference that comes out of nowhere when a guy hasn't been around a team.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that it was announced. Kind of flew under the radar. Things happen on the weekend. Everybody's doing their thing. They're not really paying attention to it. But over the weekend, they released this press conference. I'm like, dang, what's going to go on here? This has got to be something of substance if they're giving you like a 48-hour head start on, you know, making one of these announcements. And before we all sit around and, you know, speculate, you know, what's wrong with Deion Sanders, I don't think that's our job. I want to talk about the impact that he's had on both of us, Dusty, because I would consider us very casual college football fans, right? We don't really have a dog in the fight, if you will. I root for Ohio State and, you know, whatnot. And the more I root for them, the more my friend Jim gets mad at me because he, you know, is an Ohio State fan, and that's what I kind of tweak him. But Deion was one of the big reasons why I was able to kind of get back into college football and why it was kind of exciting for me, because Deion made it that way, right? He was a reason to watch. He was kind of the hook out there to get me back into college football 2 years ago. And I'm so glad he was there to do that, because I've really enjoyed watching college football over the last couple of years. I think it's been so much fun to kind of have that back into my life. And I love the NIL, and I love the chaos that's going on in college sports right now, because I like to make people squirm, and seeing the old guard squirm because they can't handle the new stuff that's coming in makes me enjoy it as well. So you got Deion doing his thing at Colorado. Ohio State's having a lot of fun winning their games. Chaos all over the place in college sports. Like, I really appreciate what Deion has meant to college football over the last couple of years. And I know a lot of people look at him and they're like, oh, he's just doing it for his kid, and he only wanted to coach his kid and all that kind of stuff. I'm a dad. You do what's in the best interest of your children all the time, and you try to help your children all the time get the best opportunities that you possibly can. That's your dad, your role as a dad. He just happened to have the role where he could coach a university and get his kid and, you know, his friends and whatnot opportunities to play at a collegiate level. And so I love Deion Sanders. I love everything that he's about. And if he's not going to be around this year, it's a big loss for the college game, bro.
Big time. It's a big name, big personality, like him or not, winning record or not. He brought spark, pizzazz, and all that to the University of Colorado, which is something they had not had since, I don't know, Cordell Stewart was there. And I think the other thing that's crazy about this press conference is that it's not just Deion.
Right.
It's Deion and his medical team.
Right.
Which leads me to believe that Deion will come out with a statement, and then when there are any questions, he will have the medical advisors come in and say, well, this is why the time off is needed. This is where he is currently at. This is the severity of the issue. This is where we can be at in 2 or 3 years. But right now, coaching is not where it should be.
Right.
Right. We heard over the weekend, I think Bill Self had like some stents put in his heart.
Heart surgery over the weekend. Yep.
Basically half a season because of heart issues in the postseason as well. So like these jobs are stressful. These jobs are taxing. These jobs are not as important as your health. Even if you are Bill Self or Deion Sanders, there are times in your life where your medical team will say, hey, buddy, like if your stress level skyrocketed, it's like could be your co-host, could be the job. But either way, why don't you take a week? Why don't you just get away and like relax and just get it off your mind? Because at the end of the day, like, yes, we're all about making takes and making entertainment and doing these things for people. But at the end of the day, like you got to take care of yourself. I always go back to that fun Marshawn Lynch thing where he talked about, you know, you take care of your chickens and your bread, you make sure you have this and that, and don't let other people dictate what you do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's about your mental, it's about your physical, and then it's about everybody else.
Yep.
And I think that's what you're here today with Deion Sanders. It's sad to see this happen. It's sad because it seems like there will be a lot of people that will be like, oh, he just didn't get a good recruiting class. He doesn't want to coach anymore because his son's not there. I don't think that's the issue whatsoever. And I know that I'm a Deion apologist and a fan. I wear the Prime hoodie and all that stuff because he got me captivated in the sport again, like you had mentioned earlier. But I think when you have your medical staff with you, that sends to me a red flag. Like that to me is where it's going to be like, I'm stepping down. I'm taking a leave of absence. I got to get ready for, you know, my health to get better. I've, you know, had toes amputated. I've had blood clots that affected my life. It's not getting easier. Being out here coaching is not helping that. I have to step away. My medical team is here to provide you with any sort of, you know, technology or not technology, but terminology that maybe I don't know or that I'm not familiar with that you can ask. And I think that's why they are there, not just for support, but for answers.
Well, and also too, let's just say he is stepping away and stepping aside for a while to deal with his health. It is the right thing to do because you have to be committed to your health and you also want to be committed to those players and to that university. It's not fair to these players and to the other coaches that are on that staff. And to the fan base, really, and everybody that's involved, to sit there and kind of go half-assed and not know what you're going to be able to do and what you can do. And so I think he steps aside in order to kind of free up Colorado, too, so they can continue to move forward, and then you can have that new voice, and people aren't wondering, well, what would Coach Prime say about this or anything like that? No, Coach Prime isn't here right now. Coach Johnson or whoever the hell it is, he's now in charge of, you know, what's going to go on at Colorado, and you're able to put him as the voice, and then Deion doesn't have to kind of go back and forth between, because if you're dealing with stuff where toes are amputated, he's talking about putting a will together. We're not talking about pneumonia here. We're not talking about the cold. We're not talking about stuff like that. It sure seems like we're talking about something a lot more serious that Deion needs to rectify. But I'm not going to have the stomach, and you know it's going to come right away, and it's already starting about the only reason he's stepping away is because he doesn't have a good recruiting class. He just did it to get his son in there and all that kind of stuff. That the haters, if you will, and I use that term because that's what they are, the haters will try to throw this at Deion Sanders and try to portray him as not being a good college football coach. Yeah, he's 13-12, but he's changed the lives of so many young men, and he changed the perception of that university and put Colorado back on the map. You know, record enrollment, record endowment. People are excited again about their program, and that's cool, and that's awesome to see. It's okay to have that in sports. You know, we don't have to follow all these books and things that people always want to say the right way to do things. Sometimes different ways to do things are okay. And Deion proved that different is okay. And he proved that you can go out there and turn around a program and get people excited again about a program that was essentially, it was dormant. I mean, it was awful.
Yeah, you didn't talk about Colorado. And then all you did was talk about. I remember doing a Ben Maller interview. We were talking before we did the interview. And I'm like, what do you talk about when it comes to college football? He's like, what do you mean? I talk about Deion Sanders.
Right.
That's an LA guy. Like that's, you got UCLA out there. You got USC out there. You've got, you know, Washington's up north. You can talk about them if you wanted to, all that sort of stuff. And it was Deion. Yep. And like him or hate him, it was content and it was created because of what he did in Colorado. And today the content will take a little bit of a step back. Cause I am assuming from what we are hearing, what we're reading, if you're just now joining us, he will hold a press conference. And he will be explaining what is going on with his medical diagnosis. But it is day six of camp. The pads are going back on. That waiter slash honey bear guy is there from the movie that we recently watched over the weekend.
Yep.
Excited to see day two because so far we got a bunch of hype on the guy that Jay Binkley was not happy about, and Joshua Simmons, who is ready to go and seems the injury is not an issue in the leg.
Yeah, and that's the greatest thing we could have had in training camp. I've never seen people so excited about a left tackle position, but that's been what's been weighing us down for these last couple of years, right? I mean, you know, this offensive line we saw in the Super Bowl just couldn't handle it anymore, and so they had to go out and fix that position. And when Josh Simmons was drafted, Jay Binkley was not a fan of the Josh Simmons pick, and he wasn't a fan because Josh Simmons is coming off this medical stuff. Fast forward to where we are right now, nobody's challenging Josh Simmons for the left tackle spot, and there are three guys competing at the right tackle spot today, right? And so that, to me, is most unbelievable thing ever. Not only is Simmons out there playing, but he looks, as of yesterday, locked in at that number one spot with no challengers whatsoever. Mm. And that has to be scary for the rest of the National Football League, that Andy Reid looked at this guy and went, yeah, he's our starting left tackle. He's ready to go. All y'all passed up on this guy in the first round. We took him, and he's ready to roll, and we're ready to go with our left tackle. In fact, we're so ready, we're going to have three people fight it out for the right tackle spot, and then all of a sudden you see Juwan Taylor off the physically unable to perform list when he was probably going to ease his way into camp. Now he realizes, I better get out there. Jalen Moore's going to take my spot, and I'm going to be the swing tackle.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
We even doubled down and asked Billy why he doesn't like the pick.
The Chiefs brought him in for a top 30 visit. I get it. They looked at him. They obviously were happy with where he was. I will say this, 31 other NFL teams decided to pass on him. He almost got out of the first round. For a guy, like you said, that was left tackle one going into the season, there's a lot of people had some doubts. The patellar tendon is kind of a rare injury. That is not an injury that people have come back from right away. I mean, it takes a while, especially when you have surgery on it. To that point, it is not an injury in the NFL that they're used to dealing with.
Sounds like he has changed his mind to,
hey baby, how you doing?
He better get to the hey baby, how you doing, because Simmons is the guy that is going to be the starter at the left tackle position. And again, that's what you want. You want these guys that are drafted to come in right away and produce, and it looks like they're going to be able to have that opportunity, you know, with Simmons going out there, and Binkley's probably going to have to eat his words, but that's okay. It's all right to say, hey, man, I swung and missed on this one. He's still telling us he had Mahomes before anybody else, right?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's crazy about this, that if Simmons is the truth, and again, we don't know if he is or not. We just know that he's played one day in pads, and he was with the ones.
Right.
And before that, when they were just in T-shirts and shorts, he was with the ones. Mm-hmm. It is St. Joe, where we know it is hell. And the first time they had pads, they did the whole longest drive thing. And that's what Mike Dana was talking about on this.
I mean, you just got to gut it out, man. You know, there's no looking for subs. There's no, you know, looking for ways out. You know, you just got to realize that, you know, this is the time to dig deep. This is the time to grow. You know, you coach emphasized, you know, growing in uncomfortable situations. That's all that long drive drill is. It's just uncomfortable. Your body's tired. Your body's exhausted. You want to see who's going to dig deep, who's going to keep going.
Yeah, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you can get comfortable being uncomfortable, I try to tell the kids that a lot, too, with stuff. Like, you got to be uncomfortable. It gets you through, you know, to get back to being comfortable. And if you can get uncomfortable in July up at St. Joe and the first day of practice, Dusty, they're making these guys go through that drill. Like, that's going to be why you win the Super Bowl. They say it every year. When you get to the end of the year, they all talk about this time up in St. Joe and how it molds them and transforms them into a team and makes them stronger, not just from a physical side. This is where you make yourself mentally stronger. You know, when you're out there and it's 110 degrees and it's humid and, you know, you got to go talk to Cody Tapp after this, like, you're looking deep down and you're going, man, I got to go out there and I got to find a way to dig deeper mentally to get through these practices. And that's what they're doing right now. And then the game rolls around. It's like, this is easy. We did that in St. Joe when it was 150 degrees outside.
Imagine if he is there on the left side and provides that sort of perfection or protection.
Yeah. Well, either way,
it's going to lead to more perfection from Patrick Mahomes. Yep. If you can give Patrick Mahomes two more seconds, that gives Xavier Worthy two more seconds. That gives Hollywood Brown two more seconds. That gives Rashee Rice when he gets back from suspension. That wasn't announced when I was gone, was it?
No.
That he's no games have been announced yet?
Not, okay. No. Well, everybody believes there's going to be a suspension. Nobody just knows how long.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And this sort of addition subtracts all of those people that say, well, right now it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then Mahomes has kind of fallen off. If Mahomes has protection, because when before he didn't have it, it was the interior. Brett Veach went out there and he got Trey Smith and he got Creed Humphrey and they signed Joe Tooney.
That's right.
When he didn't have outside protection, now he goes out and he gets Jalen Moore, he gets Joshua Simmons,
right.
And then you've got Juwan Taylor on the other side. Now you have options to protect your quarterback on the tackles, and you have options to protect him in the guard. You gave Trey Smith the contract, gave Creed Humphrey the contract. We'll see what they do at left guard. I don't think that's a huge option or a huge issue right now if you do have the truth that might be the left tackle and Joshua Simmons. Again, this is just what we're reporting on because what we've heard so far in camp. Pads have been on for one day. They're on again today. They've been there for 6 days of camp. Seven, they had an off day on Saturday. But again, this is where the hype starts. Is in St. Joe and the brutal heat. You guys were all out there. You heard Mike Dana talking about it. If they don't think this guy's ready to go and that his injury is a thing of the past, he's not out there in that drive.
Right.
He's not out there doing that. And when you're out there doing that and you're Patrick Mahomes and you can see that this young kid can hack it and he can do it, that starts to get the wheels turning and gets him and Andy Reid start to, you know, really develop those plays they can go back to. And again, I'm not going to say it as like a homer, but maybe I am. But if you do have that issue at left tackle fixed, you might have an MVP season of Patrick Mahomes engaged because of what he can have, the confidence, the trust, and the ability to move that ball downfield instead of throwing those little wheel routes and those 5 yard out passes. Now we might see, you know, the mouse Xavier Worthy go out there and get wild. We might see, you know, more protection and guys get better. We might see Travis Kelce be able to take a little longer with his age to run a route that's more crisp. But I love this hype that's coming out of left tackle because when we had Matt McMullen on 2 weeks ago, he was like, left tackle will be the biggest topic.
Yeah.
It'll be the biggest issue in camp to see what happens. And so far in 6 days, he's running with the ones and a full day of pads. He's with the ones. And when they're doing the long, killer, brutal drive in the St. Joe Heat, well, the Missouri Heat that we all felt yesterday, or in Kansas, I mean, it was terrible. And he's out there. That is a huge, huge, huge sign.
Well, it's fantastic because it eliminates then all of the talking points this year. And it now really makes people refocus back on the Chiefs because there was a lot of negativity this offseason around the Chiefs. And everybody just kept talking about the offense. Like, they got to get this offensive line fixed. And meanwhile, I'm sitting to myself going, what do you mean get the offensive line fixed? It was one position that they had to fix on the offensive line. It was left tackle. They drafted a guy and they signed a guy. I think they've done enough to kind of address the offensive line situation. Now we're seeing the kind of the fruits of the offseason labor get into work, and we're seeing, oh, they didn't just fix the offensive line. They drafted a day one starter on day one, and he's ready to go on day one. And that's the best thing about it. Everybody was passing on Simmons. Everybody was talking about the injury. Oh, the injury is going to hold them back. It's probably going to have to be a redshirt year. Now the Chiefs have gone out there and taken another player that most people gave up on because of injury. I'm talking about Trey Smith as well, drafted that player, and it looks like that player is going to be a big impact and have a big impact into what they want to do, you know, moving forward. And for Patrick Mahomes, the only thing that I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to have to worry about this year is getting his mind back to understanding that now he is going to have that time. Because for the last couple of years, he's always kind of been under pressure. He's always been in a rush. He hasn't had the time to kind of sit back there and let the play develop. He has to get back into that mindset now, which won't be hard at all. He's Patrick Mahomes, okay? So I'm not worried about that. But now what are all the folks going to say who lined up to, you know, bury the Chiefs, to kick dirt on the grave, to say this team was done, that this dynasty is over? They all pointed to the offensive line. And day one of training camp in pads, it looks like they took the biggest problem and they fixed it, just like the Kansas City Chiefs have always done. So now, what are people going to look at and are going to tell me, and how are they going to explain to me that this is now not the best team in the NFL? What's going to be your take now? What's going to be your comeback now when you say, oh, I don't think the Chiefs are good. I don't think the Chiefs are one of the better teams. I think that, why? What can you point to now that says the Chiefs aren't going to be good? Because I hate to break it to you, their second round pick, Omar Lott McMullen or whatever that guy's name is.
Never heard of him.
He's a rookie. He's starting on the defensive line. You know how rare it is for a rookie to start from day one in the Steve Spagnuolo defense? That's as rare as anything you will ever see. And Omar Lott is out there participating as a starter on the defensive line. So not only did they maybe get a steal in Josh Simmons, they may have found another all-world starter in Omar Norman Lott as well.
Well, and you mentioned it being the biggest hole filled. I this is not a hole that teams like the Chiefs are supposed to be able to fill. And the text line is flooded with comments about, hey, you said the same thing about Kingsley last year. Kingsley was a guy that everyone thought would go in the first day or two of the draft. If not for this injury, it has been widely reported that Simmons could have gone fourth overall where Will Campbell was picked to the Patriots. Josh Simmons is universally the best tackle coming out of the into the draft this year. When you've gone to five Super Bowls and seven consecutive AFC championship games or whatever it is, when you've paid your quarterback, when you've paid your Hall of Fame pass rusher, you're not supposed to be able to acquire a left tackle of this stature. You don't draft high enough. You can get a good safety at 32 or a good wide receiver at 32. You don't get left tackles of Josh Simmons type at 32. And then also you're up against the cap as well. You kind of have to piece it together and figure it out, which you've seen the Chiefs do that for the last half decade. So I think it's different than Kingsley, and I think it's different than a lot of other the way a dynasty is designed to be equipped in this day and age in the NFL. So I think it's going to be Brett Veach's one of his most impressive moves when it's all said and done. And so I couldn't be more, I guess, opposite of Binkley's analysis from draft night.
And look, again, we have fun with Binkley, but comparing the Kingsley, I mean, come on, that was a second round pick or whatever Kingsley was. And his more natural position, obviously, is a guard, played that left guard spot in the last game last year and dominated against Denver's starters last year and played really well. I think they're excited about his possibilities. You know, at that left guard spot, he'll compete with Caliendo. He'll compete with Wanye Morris. There's a lot of competition now on that offensive line, which is going to make everybody better. But we're comparing a guy who legitimately was a top five pick to a guy who was picked in the second round, who was never expected to be an all-world left tackle. But if you found one in the second round, then kudos to you. You got your guy. But second round picks are not first round picks for a reason. We saw that last year with Kingsley, and Simmons may be that guy who comes in and makes us forget about everybody else that we've had for the last 5 years.
We'll get to the brioche of the weekend on the other side and wrap up a Monday show here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty with Nathan. You're home for Kansas City sports. We'll get into the brioche of the weekend here in a little bit. Just a reminder, programming note, Royals at 5:30 tonight, starting with Josh Verner's On Deck show. Like he said, make sure you're listening. You get a chance to see the Washington Nationals come to town. Hopefully still playing some decent baseball for the Royals. You get to see James Wood, very popular name in the card industry, as well as the baseball world. So listen at 5:30, Verner's On Deck show, Royals at 6:40 here on 96.5 The Fan. A lot of heat today. For some reason, I'm going to be a stupid idiot. I'm going to go play golf at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah, dude.
Why?
Because I'm a moron. That's just what it is.
Oh, no. I want to cry.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, I want to cry today for you. Why? Is this your friend who can never get out, and so you're going to play with him? Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's being a good friend.
I was on vacation for a week. Yeah. Didn't play the week before. I'm kind of itching for golf. At least by the time we get to the second nine, it'll be a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
And we're not teeing off till 4, so I'll take a cooler full of water, Gatorade, and cold towels.
Yeah.
I'm excited, though, man. I'm crazy, though. I'm just...
Today's one of those days where you're like, yeah, water, Gatorade, and ice.
Oh,
And that's all you need. And
that's all we drink today is water and iced tea.
I mean, I've been through... This is my second one of these already on the day. Yeah. 40 ounces of water or whatever it is I could use as a weapon if I needed to, which we talked about in New Orleans. You know, I got one shot. If somebody came up to us and was creeping around, you know, whacking with that water bottle, knocking them out. But if I missed, oh, my God, we were screwed. We got a word from our spy up at training camp. One of our sources up at training camp sent us a message that... Justin Simmons just buried Creed Humphrey in one-on-one drills.
I mean,
Did Kingsley do that? Did Kingsley do that last year,
Bob? I don't remember, but this is like a legit spy that just texted us and is like, Josh Simmons just buried Creed Humphrey in one-on-one drills. And Dusty looked at me and goes, somebody was telling us over the weekend how strong they thought Creed Humphrey was. One of the new guys on the team is like
Gelati or Lott or somebody has just said he's just a man that's unmovable. Yeah. Something like that.
And so if Josh Simmons is, and you know, Creed Humphrey to Josh Simmons, two totally different body types. Left tackle, you're bigger, you're longer. As a center, you're a stocky, short dude, right? That should be able to get the pad leverage going low. And if Josh Simmons is a rookie, he's getting the pad leverage lower than a guy who's playing that center position and burying him into the dirt. That's a great sign to have happening up at training camp.
Bob mentioned earlier that August is already here. It'll be August 1st on Friday. Don't forget, you can join 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Minnehue football. I hope he signs it, Chuck. Plus a pair of tickets to see the Chiefs and Colts. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X to enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 pin cash on August 8th, every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't forget August 7th, a week from this Thursday. Feels like we just started promoting this. A week from this Thursday is my birthday. I kid. A week from this Thursday is Travis Kelce Day, 8-7 day here on 96.5 The Fan. All things Travis Kelce, all interviews, all people that are around him. Should be a really fun time to celebrate that man, the waiter from Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah, really good in Happy Gilmore 2. I thought it was just fun to see Travis in that. And it looked like he took it serious, too. You know, like it wasn't there as a joke or anything like that.
As one of the cameos,
like,
he was one of the better ones.
He was. He really was really, really good. Who did you think had the best cameo in it? Was it Haley Joel Osment when he was seeing dead people? Like, of all people to be the villain.
I could have sworn that was the guy from KC Sports Network.
Oh.
What? He looked just like Tucker. Either way, we'll get to the Brio Show of the weekend. Look him up and tell me I'm wrong. It's not
Brioche of the weekend.
Big Brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
All right, Brioche of the weekend. I'll give you mine. God bless Ichiro Suzuki, because he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, the first ever Japanese baseball player to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. There will be another one in 10 years, or whenever Shohei Ohtani hangs it up. He'll be a first ballot, day one Hall of Famer. But this was Ichiro talking out and calling out somebody who's a Richard.
Baseball taught me what it means to be a professional, and I believe that is the main reason I am here today. Not because my skills are better than others. 3,000 hits or 262 hits in one season are achievements recognized by the writers. Well, all but one of you. And by the way, the offer for that writer to have dinner at my home has now expired.
It was so great. He was wonderful.
And then he gives some shade to the Marlins.
And to the Miami Marlins, I appreciate David Sampson and Mike Hill for coming today. Honestly, when you guys called to offer me a contract for 2015, I have never heard of your team.
So shout out to the Baseball Hall of Fame speeches. I did not think we were going to get some sort of humor from Ichiro, but boy, did we. That contract has expired.
He was great yesterday.
CC was good, I guess. I didn't see it.
Yep. I saw CC and him, and then I saw Dave Parker's son
speak,
which, oh my God, I love the way that he did that. It was like, his dad had kind of written the speech because he died a month ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like a month before he went into the Hall of Fame, man. So sad. Dave Parker, one of the greats, right? And so he kind of like read his dad's speech, then inserted his part, then read his dad's speech, and then kind of inserted his part, kind of like a response almost to what his dad was, you know, saying in that speech. And I really did. I thought it was great yesterday. Really well done by the Baseball Hall of Fame. My Brioche of the weekend goes to everybody we went down to the lake with this weekend. We all sat around and watched Happy Gilmore 2.
Even the monkey.
I saw a monkey on a boat. Unbelievable. With a life jacket on. The monkey was nasty, though. It was not a nice monkey. You know, haven't you always wanted a monkey?
Did anybody have to spank the monkey?
No, nobody did. No, but really not a nice monkey. And so had such a great weekend with my wife, Dusty, that I sold my Coldplay tickets for next week. And so,
you're not on the Jumbotron? Yeah,
so we had a great
That's
time.
Bob, somebody from sales. That's not Jim. The hell's he doing with Sarah?
Yeah. So Coldplay tickets for next week. They've been sold. We had such a great weekend. So shout out Tammy and Chris for having us down as well to the lake. Hopefully we didn't do much damage down there.
No, you definitely did damage.
Yeah. to my liver maybe, but not to the house. I hope not.
Oh, I don't know how to follow that. I got to give it to Jonathan India.
Okay.
And it's for, I'm not making a statement about, hey, he you know, rectified all of his, you know, shortcomings so far this year. But to stand in there and take, you know, a couple of fastballs in the face on opening day or the first weekend against Class A there, it's got to feel so good to come up with a hit like that against him, even though a few months have passed. So yeah. I got to go Jonathan India with the three-run walk-off home run against a guy who drilled him last time he was here in town.
Not only that, but, like, where we've seen this, you know, where we've seen this sort of team get derailed by something that could happen where you had, you know, Mize up to take a bunt and knock, you know, Tolbert over or whatever it could have been. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have Jonathan India come up and hit a 3-run home run to not let that kind of sort of thing derail that game. They win that game, lose the second one, but win the third. So they win 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. So yeah, I was happy with India. I mean, and who knows, maybe he gets hot at the right time.
And you know how I feel about India. I was really excited about his, you know, them acquiring Jonathan India this offseason. And I still like the move. I still would do the move 10 times out of 10 again, Brady Singer for Jonathan India. He just hasn't lived up to, I think, what everybody wanted him to be from a consistent basis. But look, I still like the move. I still like the player. I still think he's good at the top of the lineup, and it's never easy when you're traded over and everybody's looking at you. All right, you're the guy, set the table, get on base, let's go, Bobby's behind you. And so he's had a fine season. It could be a lot better, obviously, but I still think the trade works for the Kansas City Royals, and I'm glad anytime Jonathan India has success, I get excited about that because he's a guy that I root for.
Absolutely. And I'm with you, Dusty. I was in the car listening to that. So when Tolbert gets picked off, I'm yelling, I'm screaming. It's not a good situation. But then afterwards, I'm like, the only thing, like, this team's not stringing together a rally after that. They had a couple of guys walk, like things were building, and then the pickoff happened. But I'm thinking a walk-off home run's not in the cards. That's not. And then so I was just so pleasantly surprised by that as well.
Well,
so,
when they took that 3-2 lead in the 10th, too, you're probably thinking, okay, here they go. They're going to blow this one, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's, yeah. It was a good win. But hey, we're back tomorrow, same time, 6 a.m. Nathan, Bob, myself, it's me here to remind you again, go do something nice for somebody today, tomorrow. Never know, it could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy, stay cool and hydrated. Coming up next, it's Cody Gold and JT. Cody and Gold live from St. Joe. You listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.